If you love Jesus this morning, say amen. God is good and all the time, and that's all right. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Boy, I'm just so glad to be here this morning, and I'm so glad for all that the Lord is doing, amen. Because God is on the move, and He's always working. He's always doing something. He's never sitting idly by. He's a God that is very much in control. And so if you don't mind, I want you to get your Bibles out, and then I want to give the announcements. I want you to turn to the book of Romans, the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I want to share with you something the Lord placed upon my heart, something that is very, very important. You are a child of the living God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can say, I'm saved. How many of you can say you're saved in this room? Amen. There's a song that says, I'm saved and I know that I am. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about something very important, because it's something in regards to how God views you, and we need to view ourselves the way that God views us. Amen. Beginning at verse 9, I want us to read all the way through verse 21. And I want to speak with you a message entitled, A Righteousness That Is Apart From the Law. A righteousness that is apart from or separate from the law. Beginning at verse 9, it says, What then? This is Paul writing to the Romans. What then? Are we better than they? No, not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. I want you to say all. Both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I want you to say none. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one. I want you to say no one. No one who understands. There is no one. I want you to say no one. No one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Their throats are an open grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of vipers is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and they do not know the way of peace. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul using many different scriptures to make those statements. Verse 19, Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and all the world may become accountable to God. Therefore, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. I want you to say no flesh. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 21, one more time. But now, apart from the law, or separate from the law, the righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Let's pray. I ask, Lord, that you would help me to relay to this, your people, the truth of what you have accomplished for us. I pray that, Lord, you would set free some that have been bound by believing that they have to please you by keeping the law, striving to keep the law, only to fail and fail and fail. I pray that freedom would come to many, and I pray it would come because of the truth of your word and your word alone. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone said, Amen. This portion of Scripture, the book of Romans, was written by none other than the great Apostle Paul. I think if there is one of the greatest examples of the New Covenant teaching, the greatest example of a preacher of the cross, we find that example in the Apostle Paul. Most of us here know the story of Paul. Initially, he was a Pharisee. He would call himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. And in his Phariseeism, You can begin to see that the Apostle Paul was zealous. Now, earlier today in our Sunday school class, we talked about having a zeal for God. Paul was zealous for the law of God. He was raised, even though born in Cilicia, of the Roman Empire, he was raised in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one of the chiefest teachers there in Jerusalem. He was being raised, many believe he was being groomed to potentially take Gamaliel's place there as one of the leaders of the Pharisee movement. The Apostle Paul knew the law. Many of those Pharisees had chapters and books memorized. They were 30 years of age and older usually, and they knew what they had as their Bible. Now remember, at that time, their Bible was the Old Testament. Another word to describe it would be the Old Covenant. And so as we begin to understand Paul, we begin to see that he knew his Bible, and he knew it well. His zeal for God was such that he would begin to persecute, he would begin to kill, he would cause some to blaspheme those that were following the way. That was what the church was called at that time. That were following the way of Christ, those that were believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul was so zealous for the law that he began to persecute and kill many. And as we all know, he was on his way to Damascus to want to destroy or persecute more in that area. And on his way, Paul was knocked to the ground and he saw a vision of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And of course, he would say to Jesus, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting." Paul would have such an encounter that it would change the rest of his life. He would begin to seek the Lord. He would be fasting and praying for days. And then Ananias would come and pray for him. He would receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He would begin to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And news would begin to travel around that the one that was persecuting them was now preaching the faith. Amazing. But Paul would eventually, after this whole episode, kind of disappear out of the light. He would kind of go into what were called the hidden years of Paul's life. He spent some time in Arabia, and he spent some time alone. He wasn't really known by face anymore for a little season, and finally, Barnabas would go and seek him out at his hometown. But while Paul was away, and while Paul was seeking the face of God, God began to give Paul a revelation. Paul was learned in the way of the Pharisees. He knew the law. He knew the law of Moses, and he knew it well, being a Pharisee. He would say of himself in the same book of Romans that he was, even as far as the law was concerned, blameless. He knew it well, but as we just saw earlier, all Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. And so Paul began to understand and began to be revealed by the Spirit of God, the revelation of the new covenant, the revelation of what Jesus came to accomplish on the cross. He began to understand the significance of the cross and what it would do in regards to giving man a righteousness that was separate from the law. For you see, even as we just read, the law of God is perfect. The law of God, whether you consider the Ten Commandments or the 600 and more laws that were there in the Old Testament, those laws all only serve to show us that we were unrighteous and that God is righteous. Look what it says here, verse 20. It says, "Therefore, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." The law is there to show us the standard of God and to show us that we cannot attempt, can't even get near to getting to the place of reaching God's righteousness. And so that ultimately leaves us in those verses 9 all the way through 18. There is none that does good, no, not one. There is none righteous. All have fallen. All have sinned. There is no one that would be able to get into heaven by sheer righteousness or their own self-righteousness alone. The only one that would have that potential would be Jesus Christ alone, but He alone. That leaves all man without hope. That leaves all humanity condemned. In reality, this shows the depravity of man. That man is depraved without God. We are lost and without hope, without God. And without God intervening and without God providing a way for man to be justified, man would be left without hope. All of us would be doomed to an eternal hell. Do you all hear what I'm saying? Every man, every woman, every child would be doomed to an eternal hell without God's intervention. But I'm here to tell you, even as John 3:16 states, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, I want you to say whosoever, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You see, in the law, man would stand before God condemned, for all are sinners. Even the sacrifices that the law provided in regards to lambs or goats or even pigeons, all of those animals that would be sacrificed for an atonement for sin. Atonement means a covering for sin. A way to cover and blot out man's sin. The blood of bulls and goats was not able, listen to what I'm about to tell you, to take away sin. It would only cover it for a season, but when that man or woman would sin again, they would need to sacrifice a sin offering again, because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away man's sin. But then Jesus came. And Jesus came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you and myself, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins were taken away. And so Paul here in Romans, and I would encourage you to read the book of Romans. Read the whole thing. Because Paul is arguing to the Romans, the reality of God's righteousness. How many of you know that God is righteous? Amen. There is no sin. There is no injustice. God is perfect. God is morally upright. He is perfectly sound. Amen. And the righteousness of God is something that I want you to understand. For God, well, turn real fast. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and let's see this. The Protestant Reformation was founded on this, to be honest with you. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, listen to this as we read. It says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's the good news of Jesus. Amen. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," in the gospel of Jesus Christ, "in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul here is beginning to give to the Romans his most profound work. Through his writing to the church at Rome and to the Romans, he would be writing what they would call his masterpiece. It would be the masterpiece not only given to the Romans, but to you and me as his church. And this gospel that is being preached provides the righteousness of God. For the righteousness of God is provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says here, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed." Paul from that point, verse 18, all the way to chapter 3, verse 20, Paul would begin to show that the whole world is bankrupt before God of righteousness. The whole world. The heathen, the religious, the educated, the uneducated, the philosophers, the Greeks, and even his own people, the Jews, are without the righteousness of God. And he would do all of that to show, look, there is none righteous, but there is a way to have the righteousness of God, and it can be obtained without the law. Without the law. I remember when I first got saved, I began to think, well, you know, you read your Bible as a young believer, you begin to read the New Testament, you begin to read through the Old, and all of a sudden, especially when you begin to read from Genesis, and then you start getting into Exodus, and you start reading about the Ten Commandments and all the laws, and you read about how some meat is unclean, and you begin to read about circumcision and uncircumcision, you begin to read about all kinds of stuff, and before you know it, when you don't understand what Jesus has done for you and has done for me, we can begin to think, well, I've got to try to keep the law to please God. Anybody been there before? And so we begin to think, well, it's my works that will please God. So we begin to try to strive to please God. We begin to think, if I pray 3 hours a day, I'm more pleasing to God. We begin to think, if I memorize scriptures, memorize chapters, or even books, I'm going to make myself more righteous and more pleasing to God. But as you know, when you begin to go on that quest to memorize portions of scripture, you don't memorize them like you would like. Maybe your brain, the capacity there isn't that good. It's just easier to look it up in an index or something. But ultimately, we try and we're trying to memorize and we're failing. Anybody been there? And then we feel condemned. Oh no, God must not like me now. We begin to think, well, if I begin to try to live sinlessly and try to keep the Ten Commandments, and we try, and then we try, but then we fail. We told that little white lie, broke a Ten Commandment. Now we're a liar. We stayed watching TV for 11 hours and gave God only 1 minute, and we were being a little idolatrous. Huh? We looked at something we shouldn't have looked at. We said something we shouldn't have said. And all of a sudden, when we thought we were doing so well, we broke one of those Ten Commandments, and then all of a sudden we're condemned. You know, that's what the law of God serves to do, is to condemn. Is to show you and me, we are not righteous, but God is. Amen. And so I want you to understand that the law itself, as good and as holy as it is, doesn't give you, nor does it enable you to keep it. If you've tried to keep the law of God in any way, the law of God didn't say, let me help you. It just stands there, burning bright in the fire of God's holiness, and says, you cannot amount to this, you are not enough, and you are condemned. If you ever had a chance to read Pilgrim's Progress in your or the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, that book begins to recount a part where Pilgrim, he's on his way, he's serving the Lord, but he begins to see a mountain, and someone encourages him, you've got to go that way by the way of legality. And so he begins to go that way, but the path begins to get higher, he begins to get higher, and before you know it, he's climbing a mountain, and it begins to look like that mountain is going to fall on him. The law will only serve to condemn you. It does not help you to serve God. It just tells you, and it tells me, Paul would say, I think it's in Galatians, that it's a schoolmaster that leads you to Christ. It brings us to our end and says, I need a Savior. And God provided a way to be righteous without the law of God, and that would be through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, look at me at verse 21 again of Romans. It says this, But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law of God, the Old Testament, confirms it. It's being witnessed to there. But look at verse 22. It says, this righteousness of God comes through faith in, what does it say in your Bible? Jesus Christ. This righteousness comes through Jesus Christ alone to all and upon all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, for a demonstration of His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins previously committed to prove His righteousness at this present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus. You don't have to try to please God anymore by keeping the law. You don't have to try to please God by having perfect attendance in church. Now, I'm not going to say not to have perfect attendance in church, but don't begin to think that having perfect attendance makes you better in the sight of God, because it doesn't. God loves you with all of His perfect love because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior alone. Amen. Don't ever get into your mind, well, I attend Center Assembly of God, that makes me holier in the sight of God. No, it doesn't. Amen. He's pleased with you because you have received His salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is only one way for a man and a woman to be justified in the sight of God, and that's through their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior alone. It's not the denomination they're a part of. It has nothing to do with, again, the amount of prayer one prays, the way someone dresses. It has nothing to do with those things. But it has everything to do with what Jesus accomplished for you and me on the cross. You see, in the Old Testament, the law would never allow anyone to enter into God's heavenly throne without God's righteousness. In the Old Testament, the Jews themselves, those that were a part of the Israel of God, they were justified in a way that they looked forward to the time of Jesus. We're justified by looking back to Jesus. Amen? The Jews themselves were in covenant with God. God chose Israel because of His sovereignty. He said, I chose that nation to be mine. God can choose whom He wants to choose, how He wants to choose them. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, there's a righteousness apart from the law. This righteousness of God that has been given to you and to me by faith in Jesus Christ begins to take away our striving and brings us to a place of resting in Him. For those that were here in the service Thursday night, Brother Adams said it this way. He says, it's not that I have to serve God, but rather I get to serve God. I want to serve God. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you to just feel like if He's pulling you by the hair on the back of your neck and forcing you to church. That isn't love. That's not a response. It's not a response of your own volition, your own choice. Amen. If you feel like you're being pushed into serving God, then you're not serving Him. But God has done it in a way that He has made us righteous by faith, so that now we can have a relationship with God and we can enjoy Him. We can love Him. And now church becomes a thing that we want to do. Amen? We want to be in church because I love Him. I want to read my Bible because I want to know more about Him. I want to pray because I want to talk to Him and get to know Him more. Amen? For those that remember when you were in your courting days, when you were dating your spouse, you weren't there like thinking, I have to go and be with her. Or, I got to go be where he is. No, you wanted to be there. Isn't that right? That's real love. And that's what God wants from us. It's not forced. No. God so loved the world that he made a way for us to be in relationship with him by faith. So now you and I can rest. Amen. No more striving. No more condemnation. I want you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And God is able to come and say, I love you too. You know why? Because sin has been eradicated. Amen? The Holy Spirit makes his dwelling within our hearts. And like we were talking about earlier, Sister Louise brought it out very well. He begins to help us to keep the law. Amen? Now, listen to what I said. I'm talking about the law of Christ. Remember, one of those people came to Jesus and said, Lord, what's the greatest command? Which one, Lord? And Jesus responded and said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all your strength. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one he added to it is to love your neighbor as yourself. In all of that hangs all of the law and the prophets. Love. If we love God, we'll love people. Amen? If we truly love God, he will make us those that will love our brother and our sister. And he'll make us come to the place where there is such a desire for him that there's a desire to know him more. And that longing to know him more will bring us to church. Amen? It's not Pastor James standing out there and going to the house and saying, you better get in your car right now. You better go to church. Amen? That's horrible. That's a horrible existence. Religion will do that to you. I'm sure you've heard of some that go to Mexico, certain places. Well, they'll walk up mountains on their knees. Some of the places are really sharp and glassy. And when they finally get to a particular place, it's all to be able to get a blessing that their sins have been removed. Or their venial sins have been wiped away. Or that there's an absolution of sin. Listen to what I'm telling you. But in Jesus Christ, you don't have to strive. You can just get on your knees before him. And he wiped away all of our sins on the cross of Calvary. And now we don't have to go and strive to do this and to do that. All we need to do is love him. That is relationship. That is real Christianity. That is what it's all about. And oh, that just to know God's love the way that it really is. Look at verse 27 and we'll read to the end and then we'll close. It says this. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law, he says? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Think about it. There's no more boasting. You can't say, well, I memorized all 66 books of the Bible. That makes me holier than you. Nope. I don't even have one verse memorized and I'm just as holy as you. Amen? Not really. I do have verses memorized, but listen to what I'm telling you. The one that has memorized verses and the one that hasn't is just as righteous before God. There's no boasting. Oh, but I've been in the church for 50 years. Oh, God really loves me more than that new believer. No, God loves that new believer who doesn't even know much about the Bible just as much as he loves that old saint. Amen? No boasting. God loves you. And he loves you with the same amount of love as he loves the one that you consider the saintliest of saints. Look what it says here, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcised by faith, thus the Jews, and the uncircumcised through faith, the Gentiles. Do we then make the law void through faith? God forbid. Instead, we establish the law. Wow. Whew, I love the book of Romans. I loved teaching the book of Romans when I was at the Bible school. But let me tell you something. The law of God will ultimately be fulfilled by those that love God. But that ability to love God is going to come by what God has provided in regards to righteousness by faith. We're justified by faith, not by works. And this is all a message that is contained within the New Covenant. Amen? The New Testament. And so today, maybe you found yourself striving, and maybe you've even been at a place in your life where maybe you feel like God was constantly mad at you. And a lot of that understanding of God came because maybe you heard teaching or heard preaching that pretty much was trying to get you to please God by what you did. Sometimes some preachers have preached the law unknowingly, not even realizing and understanding justification by faith. But in their lack of knowledge, they began to tell people, you've got to dress a particular way, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and you will be pleasing to God. And it began to warp your view of God as if God's just mad at you. God's just only wants to hurt you. God is only out to get you. But I'm here to tell you that all of that stuff is all a lie, and God wants not to hurt you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to love on you. He wants to help you. He wants to direct your steps. He wants to be a part of your life, and He wants you to make Him a part of your life. That's the God that we serve. He is not a condemner. He's a Savior. Amen? Now, for those that will choose not to believe, they remain condemned. But for the one that exercises faith in Jesus by faith, there is no condemnation for them. Romans chapter 8 tells us that clearly. Amen. He loves you. Let's stand this morning.